member, esteemed management of the Department of Tourism, our esteemed guests from the SA Tourism, good morning to you all. Today we shall be dealing with a briefing on by National Department of Tourism, and firstly it is going to be a presentation by the National Department of Tourism for 60 minutes, and then tea at 11. Session 2 will be a presentation by South African Tourism, and then thereafter we shall have questions, answers and discussions. After that we shall be in committee discussing who is going to and which station on radio around the members, and because it's different languages, and we shall, and then 5 minutes of the previous meetings. Here we shall just be tabling the minutes. We shall not consider the minutes. Then next week we shall adopt the minutes. But please read the minutes before, because we shall not give people any time to read minutes during the meeting. So before then we get to item 1, perhaps let us allow Mr. Ambassador Makubela to introduce his team, and then thereafter get into the first presentation. Over to you, Mr.
Chair, thank you very much. Maybe if you agree with your permission, I'll just let them introduce themselves, starting to the gentleman on my left.
Morning, Chairperson. Honorable members, Dirk van Schalkwyk, Chief COO, NDT.
Morning, and my name is Larissa Matakala. I'm the acting DDG for Tourism Development, Department of Tourism.
Good morning, members. My name is Mulelo Seti. I'm the Chief Director responsible for capacity development within the National Department of Tourism.
Morning. My name is Rikuwani. My surname is Nemutenga. I'm the Director for Performance Management at the National Department of Tourism.
Thank you, Chair. One of the members, my name is Namza Mutengu. I'm the Chief Director for Business Performance Management.
Good morning, Chairperson. Members, Ralph Ackerman, CFO.
Okay. Is that the National Department of Tourism? Okay, SA Tourism will come later. Let them introduce themselves before their presentation as well. So over to you, DG, with your presentation. But before that, we have received 2 apologies from Ms. Maluleke. It is for absence. And then secondly, from Mamun Jombe. She has just landed from East London. So she'll be joining us soon. Okay, over to you, sir.
Chair, thank you very much. Thank you very much, also to members of the committee. Chair, we would be, Nomzamo will be making this presentation this morning. But before we go to the presentation, Chair, I thought maybe it's worth indicating a few things that would come up during this presentation. One, Chair, you would realize, in terms of the substance, you realize that from the SRI project, we've tried to streamline this project during the forthcoming financial year. Of course, the presentation we're making, it covers the quarter that ended at the end of December. And we've tried to extrapolate from that issues that ought to be reflected on our strategy for the next coming financial year. Now you realize that the SRI project, in terms of what we committed ourselves at the beginning of the year, is totally different from what is written so far. And in as far as that is concerned, we inherited projects that came from the old DIT, and that's the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism. And most of the tourism-related projects were reaching a maturity of their stage. And therefore, we needed to start streamlining and reprioritizing the project during the next financial year. To a large extent, we were in some instances more overambitious, and yet the governance issues related to the implementation of the project had some really serious challenges. So you realize that in the presentation. Equally, our approach in terms of the strategy planning is going to be different during the next financial year, because the elements that are included in the strategy that really do not reside within our purview as a department in terms of implementation. And as a collective management, during the midterm review last year, we realized that some of the things that we've included in the strategy, actually we have no institutional capacity to implement them. In terms of the implementation, they reside somewhere else. So you would see some of these projects in the presentation today. For instance, issues related to transformation. If you look at the targets that we set for ourselves during this financial year, they give the impression that we're going to be the ones who are implementing this. And that's why when it comes to the implementation, we then realize the challenge around implementing this project. And it comes back to a very simple thing that we acknowledge as management, that if we've included things in our strategy, we've got to be able to measure them, to be able to implement them. And if we can't measure these issues, we're not going to be able to implement them. And we realize that though they are critical, I'm saying, but the implementation resides somewhere else, not within the department. So you will see some of these issues. Part of really trying to close this gap is the NTSS strategy chair that has been approved by cabinet on the 2nd of this month. Now, the NTSS, this is the National Tourism Sector Strategy, is going to assist us to streamline our activities and to work in unison with some of our other role players, both in the private sector and in other spheres of government. So that would help to close the gap. Again, the draft amendment bill to the tourism bill, we hope during the course of this parliament, it will come before the parliament to make a decision on this matter. We've done whatever we needed to from our side with respect to the draft bill. Now, Chair, you would also realize in the strategy that the issues around training, and we actually spoke about this last week, that actually we came up with very ambitious targets to train the trainers and place the trainers, train people for service excellence. But in actual fact, if you look at the amount of people we needed to train, we needed to have a very huge academy to be able to do that. Without the institutional capacity to do that kind of training, we would not be able to do that. We, however, do have small projects that we have some control in terms of training. But really to put targets that are saying we will train 250,000 people without even a single classroom that we own and teachers that we have, it's going to be virtually impossible to do that. So you realize there's that acknowledgement in the strategy. And this relates also to placement of educators in tourism. Now, we can't place teachers who are involved in the schools and place them anywhere because it's not within our mandate. In the strategy, we realize with respect to training that we've spoken about this last week, and we're involved in training some people in hotel management. And we have a partnership with the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. In the strategy, it's reflected as in the report that you have before you, actually, it's reflected as the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in the U.S. It's not in the U.S., it's actually in Canada. And we've spoken extensively about this project. The mistake in citing that it's in the U.S., it's in Canada. Again, Chair, you would realize, and honorable members, with respect to TEP projects, if you look at the manner in which they were scoped, you would think that we really performed miraculously, that we did extremely well. The fact of the matter is that we went from a very low base, actually. And that's why if you see this target, you think that we've done extremely well. There's nothing extremely well in that, that the project performed well, of course. But if you look at the numbers, they really don't tell it, because you can't work from a very such a low base and achieve so much. And then what we realize is that we actually underscoped the project. That is essentially the explanation with respect to that. And that's why you see in this high figures in terms of achievement. But there is an explanation to that. We are also, Chair, around, and I think you will see this around the question of the transformation, I think, when we run through the presentation.
I would like to follow on the notes, but I'm not quite sure where we are on the document. Can you assist us?
I'm just giving an overview introduction. Then there will be a presentation of the document sequentially. What I'm trying to do, I'm trying to give you some of the issues that are contained, the shortcomings and the strengths that are contained in the report, so that when we run through the report, you have this background.
Okay. In that regard, you can take notes because they're there for you'll ask questions. But essentially, he's saying that some of the targets were made without due regard to capacities and resources at their disposal.
Okay, so I was saying that's the case with respect to TEP projects. We are actually starting to reevaluate some of the international organizations where we participate, because we are really interrogating the value for money in some of these organizations and see as we move forward what exactly we need to do. And these elements are truly reflected in the study or in the document that you have before you. If you look at the same document with respect to the human resource, you realize that when we did the strategy, we were saying we expect to have 30% vacancy rate in the department, and then we are currently standing at 21%, but as we move forward, we're going to move to 10%, because that has to do, to a large extent, with the office space where we were. We could not fully capacitate the department, and we expect to move to our new building, hopefully before the end of this month, and we have enough space to start the recruitment process. But because in the recruitment process, as you identify the new posts, you get people invariably within the organization will be promoted and they'll be creating vacancies. So the 10% will be dealing and managing that vacancy rate. With respect to finances, Chair, you would see in the presentation again, I think the document that you are having, it says as of December we were standing at 72% of spending in our finance, but as we are talking now, we are at 95% of spending. And the other 5%, it relates to a very large extent to the fact that we move into a new building. In terms of the planning for moving to a new building, we're supposed to have started the move to the new building on the 15th of this month. We could not move to the building on the 15th of this month because there are certain equipment that need to be procured by public works and so on. But we are in a discussion and we're getting the information from the treasurer that they would agree to roll over this funds because these are committed funds. So at the end of this financial year, which is this month, we would have spent all the money that honorable members gave to us as a department. We're not going to be sending any money back, and this will be presented in this presentation that is coming up. But I have to indicate, Chair and honorable members, that the development of the strategy and the implementation of the strategy are actually two different processes. Somebody, actually, John Carter said a strategy is a hypothesis. Now, you only test the strategy once you start to implement certain things. And I think one of the interesting things in the strategy development and implementation is to acknowledge where we think some of the targets are not achievable. Some of the targets that we came up with, actually, we came up with easy targets and be able to move them up the scale and not actually project this as this miraculous performance when we move from a very low base. So that's acknowledgement. And I'm saying that's the beauty that is contained in the strategy implementation, is to be able to acknowledge and draw the lines between those two issues. Because it's the hypothesis, sometimes some of the things that, or the assumption that we came up with when we were drawing the strategy, as it comes to the implementation, we realize it's not as easy as we may have projected. So the challenge, of course, is to be able to change, because the strategy is also a living document. It's not static. As the conditions are changing on the ground, there's a need also to change the manner in which we implement the strategy. So, Chair, that's broadly the background in terms of this, and as I indicated, Nomzamo would run us through the details of the substance, and you would find that the contradictions that I've spoken about, they are truly reflected in this document, and Ralph would just give us an overview of where we are in terms of our resources. Thank you, Chair. If you agree, I would request Nomzamo to run through the presentation as we have it before. Thank you.
There's a question, Mr. Kwana.
Thank you, Chair. I'm a little bit lost, maybe because I was not around for some time, but I wanted to check with the DG, because he mentioned many things that show that some of the targets of the department that they put in the department, they are not going to be met. Another thing is that I'm worried when in the past we have agreed with the presentation from the department to some of the targets, our belief was that the department is knowing what it's going to do. And today we hear the difference of whether what actually the DG wanted to tell this committee, whether those targets and other things, just as a matter of beautifying the report and not really the exact that we wanted as a committee or the department wanted to achieve. Whether the issue of the service excellency that we agree or we have shown that the department is leading to, it's actually misleading, because it's not the due reflection after the overview of the DG. So we have to start again and check, because I'm worried we are going to get the long report, the presentation. It's going to be difficult to check what we have been told in the past and vis-a-vis the reality now. I'm a little bit lost, but I'm sure I'll be directed. Thanks.
Yeah, in fact, I do understand your concerns. But let us look at it this way. There have been specifics like transformation, like training of 250,000 people, like placement of teachers and TEP projects and so forth, and expenditure is around 95%. And let us get to the whole picture now. That has been a sketchy overview. And then as soon as we get specifics, let us ask those or express those concerns around specifics and then get specific answers. You committed yourself, for instance, you committed to yourself 250,000 training people. You knew that you did not have the capacities, institution, and resources. Now, what is your plan? That type of this thing. I think it is going to be more productive that way after the presentation. But thanks for raising that. Over to you, Mama.
In terms of the programs that we have in the department, and we will start with the
tourism development program. The first indicator relates to the social responsibility initiative, which are the department's contribution to the expanded public works program of government. And the main focus in the earlier part of this year, this financial year, was on.
Can we have a magnification of this thing just by perhaps a French? I do not know whether all of us can read, but
yeah,
perhaps. Or it should not be too big, but at the same time, it looks like it's too small. Yeah, I think that. Thank you for that. I don't know, a readable font size, but perhaps my eyes, it's only my eyes that are up
here.
I think we've got the copies.
Yes, as I was saying, the first part of the presentation is on the tourism development program, and the first indicator relates to our contribution to the expanded public works program. The main focus was on the planning for the new projects, as the DG had indicated. And we achieved 6,003 full-time equivalent jobs in a target of 9,861 for the year. The training was affected to a limited extent by absenteeism, but we did achieve 7,633 in the next slide. 7,633 number of accredited training person days were created. And the training also is affected by, it is reliant on the number of projects that we have. So with the new projects, we should be able to train more people, the new projects that have been approved. We have 3,850 number of accredited person training days created from the MTF EPWP incentive budget. And on the next slide, on the transformation of the sector, this is an area which Dean has covered in his introduction, but mainly we wanted to encourage an increase in the percentage of black ownership in the tourism businesses and compliance to the provisions of the charter, the BEE charter, by state organs. The main focus of the work in this reporting period was on the finalization of the transformation study, which really gave us a baseline of where we are in terms of all the provisions of the charter, where the sector is, and how much compliance or lack thereof we have. That final report is currently in the final stages of approval within the department before it is published. A concept document then for the development of a model for compliance was in place by this time. And we also facilitated a cooperation between the Devon ICC and the Wamakuta College for placement of graduates in the sector for them to receive in-service training. If you go on to the next slide, which is still about tourism sector transformation. and this work also will be kind of defined better once the BEE report, which is the study that is being finalized internally in the department. The percentages, how far we are along with the percentages, will be better defined once we have that final report. In the meantime, we have information on accredited and verification agencies. It's collated and it's ready. It's disseminated to stakeholders and is posted on the departmental website for ease of access. And the content for the easy guide that will assist businesses to comply with the BEE Charter is also in the final stages of approval during this period. On the addressing of imbalance of geographic spread and seasonality of tourism visitors, a number of projects are being implemented through the social responsibility initiative to develop, improve, and upgrade certain facilities that attract tourism to those areas. And there were a number of projects that are being implemented throughout the country, particularly in the less visited provinces, and which were at the different stages. Some have already been implemented, some were still in the planning phase. And the numbers are indicated on the report there. On the next slide, we have been working on, to address the geographic and seasonality. We have been working on a framework to review the strategic events that we are involved with, and the strategic framework for the event has been developed and is currently being discussed. It was recently discussed with the provinces and BIMEC as well. And we also have a draft niche tourism framework in place, which, as the members would remember, in the upcoming years we want to develop different specific niche strategies. We have to start that work by developing the framework for niche tourism, which will better address the issue of geographic spread and seasonality of tourism. On the next slide, we have developed a rural strategic framework, and we are in early stages of finalizing the integrated rural tourism strategy, which is also part of our new of our revised strategy and year one business plan we discussed last week. We also had conducted some research on the social tourism program, where we were kind of gathering information on what the demand and the supply side options are for social tourism. And on attracting investments, the hospitality industry conference was held of South Africa, and investment opportunities are being promoted on the Trade Invest website. Through TEP, and as DG has indicated before, what we wanted to achieve was to support enterprises to start up, support enterprises to grow and to diversify, and we wanted a particular bias towards the rural areas. And we also wanted to support enterprises through providing them with training and facilitating transactional linkages with small enterprises with big businesses. On enterprises that were supported to start up, we had 1,270. We had 60 enterprises identified and assessed for mentoring. And 60 enterprises are now participating in the mentorship program. And 10 three-year growth strategies were developed, and of these two were rural, and we supported 3,562 enterprises with training through the Tourism Enterprise Partnership that DG referred to earlier. On the next program, which is the Tourism Growth, we wanted to have a specific decent work framework defined for the tourism sector and what decent work means for the sector, for this particular sector. And we have been consulting with our stakeholders in finalizing the concept document for the tourism sector decent work framework. and the indicator on percentage increase of South Africans as a percentage of the total workforce in the tourism sector, the internal discussions, and we have received specific approvals to defer this work to the new financial year 2011-12. Also, on the number of educators trained to better understand tourism, part of the work is done through the National Tourism Career Expo, which was postponed this year. But the web portal for educators, which is in place, and seminars have been conducted in all 9 provinces. And the placement of educators within the tourism sector for experiential learning, we have 3 hotel groups that have indicated their interest. And we are now working with provinces to identify those educators to be placed. And once the provinces have indicated who they want placed, then we will work with the hotel groups that have indicated their interest to do so. On the next slide, we wanted to expose people to international and local training for capacity development within the country. And 233 candidates then were placed at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel, which is in Canada, as Didi had explained, as well as unemployed graduates have already been placed. 100 unemployed graduates have already been placed by the Hospitality Youth Initiative Institute at the agreement, and more will be placed are being placed in this current quarter, which is January to March. Out of the 64 number of candidates already placed in 2010 in the Ritz-Carlton, 25 were employed in July 2010 by CRASA on return, which makes 39% of the ones that have been trained being placed in the sector. On the number of young people trained as chefs, there were 350 applications were received, and the recruitment and selection process is currently underway during this reporting period. And there was training for host cities conducted, and over 18,000 volunteers were trained for the FIFA World Cup, and a database of trained volunteers is in place, and the Know Your Country, Know Your City module has been reviewed. On the national minimum standards for responsible tourism, these were published for comments in partnership with the South African Bureau of Standards in December, and there were 10 workshops that were conducted, and over 3,000 brochures that have been distributed in the 6 provinces during the road shows undertaken for consultation and to popularize the accessible universal accessibility awareness campaign within 6 provinces. The whole show was taken. Still on responsible tourism promotion, the Impala Awards ceremony was held in Sussex in November 2010, and we have consulted with internal and external stakeholders on the finalization of the Universal Access and Action Plan and Sector Declaration. During this reporting period, that work was currently in progress. The tourism service excellence, like the DG has indicated, there was a review of what the department's role should be in the training or in the improving of service excellence in the sector, and the internal decision was taken then to discontinue the training since this is not the core mandate of the department, and rather our role be more on providing the minimum, on facilitating the development of minimum standards for service excellence and implementation of those. On the consumer protection charter, the Department of Tourism and the Department of Trade and Industry are in consultations and cooperation between the two departments for the consumer processing else have taken place. And an internal task team has been established to work on the Department of Tourism, Department of Trade, Industry relationship on the development of the consumer protection framework for consumer protection charter for on the next slide, the draft guidelines for service excellence have been sent to the South African Bureau of Standards for populating and following the Bureau of Standards procedures for accreditation and development of the standards. On the policy research monitoring and evaluation program, we had targeted one impact evaluation report, and the FIFA World Cup 2010 study was conducted together with SAT and finalized, and the results have been published by the minister on 6 December. There was work done on the 2010 Global Trend Report, which was also which a report was collected at the World Trade Market in November 2010. On the next slide, we wanted to do the state of tourism report, which we want it to be an annual report. At the stage of reporting, the process of the development of the report was in progress with the collection of data from the various sources that provide the data that must go into this report. With the state of transportation coming from the Euro Monitor, as well as the accommodation and tourist attractions, and the visitor information center's report coming from the department itself. We also wanted to encourage compliance with a sector monitoring and evaluation framework. The draft proposal has been developed and was submitted for approval for the M&E framework. The main focus of the work then also related to the monitoring and evaluation of what the national tourism sector strategy included as targets for the sector for the medium term. The national tourism sector strategy at that stage was in draft form, but is now approved. And also on the outcomes-based approach, the outcome 11 report, which outcome 11 commits the department to contributing to the tourist arrivals as well as tourist spend, average tourist spend, was developed and submitted to the presidency as within the time frames required. In terms of the development or review of tourism policies and strategies, the focus during the reporting period was on the development of the national tourism sector strategy, like I have said. At that stage, we had a revised document after the public comments, and we were consulting with government partners internally prior to the final submission to cabinet for finalization and final approval. We developed a position paper on the mandatory registration of tourism businesses, as this is part of the work that is done towards the finalization of a draft bill that should be submitted to Parliament in the next few quarters coming up. On the next slide, we wanted to do some work on supporting districts and local municipalities to develop tourism plans and strategies. We have targeted three municipalities, and during this reporting period, the Eastern Cape districts were supported to develop tourism plans, and we had held a workshop on the 24th and 25th of November with the municipalities to kind of provide the guidelines and guidance on how tourism plans, tourism development plans should be developed. Also, on the number of tourism research projects conducted, there were quite a few, some work completed there. The decent work report, we had a final report on the decent work, which is already available. We had done some research on the tourism businesses registration. We had done some research as well on the conversions bureau to kind of support the work that is going to be included in the bill, and some of it is included in the tourism sector strategy as well, and quite a few other reports that are outlined in this report that is being presented here. On the development of baseline indicators, where we had wanted to make targets but did not have the baseline information, We have a draft report on research and research conducted with the decent work, and we have a draft report on research on existing indicators of transformation is already available. Also, on the National Tourism Research Framework development, we at that stage we had a draft document on provincial indicators having been developed, and then the internal process for the flow was for the flow of research projects was approved, and the identification of a research project for 2011 and 12 had been finalized. On the National Tourism Research Framework development still, there was a report on the international best practices was made available, and a layout for the national research framework had been developed at the time. And there were stakeholder consultations on the development of the framework and the terms of reference on the research policy expert forum was complied, and it was the advert was issued at the time and application received as well. On promoting integration, integrated tourism governance, we had finalized a draft analysis on the provincial growth and development strategies and the inclusion of tourism priorities in those. We had supported the Eastern Cape and the Limpopo IDPs, and those were analyzed for the identification of tourism priorities within those. And on the number of new information and knowledge systems and services developed, we have a system which is live on our website on application. Our e-library is updated, and we have 10 reports uploaded on the e-library as well. On the next slide, on the percentage of national visitor information framework implemented. The indicator itself is a medium-term indicator. The target for this current financial year was the framework's finalization and approval. And at that stage, we had consulted with stakeholders on the audit reports done, and we had updated the report and the framework. And on the number of events per province that are captured in the national events calendar to encourage, to kind of promote visitors to less visited areas. We have an updated national events calendar, and 57 events were sought and captured on the calendar. And the 57 events captured comprise 48 from the 9 provinces and 9 which are in the national category. On the facilitation of interdepartmental contribution to tourism growth, the number the matter of the visa restrictions, those discussions are currently happening with the response of the department, which is the Department of Home Affairs. But basically, we want to make an analysis of where the National Department of Home Affairs says this is how long it takes for visas to be completed for a particular country. We want to compare with what is practice in those countries where, for instance, we have received an indication from the Chinese that it takes up to 20 days to do a business visa, and yet in terms of what is prescribed in the Department of Home Affairs, it's not quite what is the practice in the actual countries. Once we have made that analysis, then we can address with Home Affairs what are the issues that cause those kinds of problems for what is expected to not occur in practice. And also in terms of aviation frequencies, we are often in engagement with the Department of Public Enterprises, where we are making an analysis of the areas that we want, the countries that we want to prioritize, and where we want frequencies to be increased. We want to make a case for that by investigating what whether frequencies to those particular countries are sufficient, and then engage the Department of Public Enterprises based on research that has been finalized in those areas. The governance program really is administration, and it's in support of internal services to support the delivery of the line function. On communication and creating a positive image for the department, we have targeted a 40% an increase in the share of own voice in the media, and mainly due to the 2010 effect, we had achieved 77% share of own voice in the media. And on tourism awareness initiatives, we had a concept developed on the tourism awards, like I have indicated before, and a decision on when the awards are going to be held is still discussed. It's not finalized yet. On the language policy for the department, the work to be done there was deferred to the current quarter now, which is ending end of March, so it's not falling within this reporting period. And on the use of diverse media platforms, we have used community radio stations, community papers, and other electronic media by holding interviews on different subjects on the work that is being done by the department. And on the next slide, the website of the department, we achieved 100% uptime on that. It was always available, and we had more than 7,000 hits on the website, and of those, 3,076 were unique visitors. We did not have any prior requests during this period. We had targeted, however, that 100% of all the requirements in terms of the PIA Act must be met, but we did not get any prior requests. Excuse me, it's the Promotion of Access to Information Act. On stakeholder engagement, there were two major stakeholder meetings that were facilitated during the period in October, both of them in October. One was focusing on harnessing the global tourism, and was hosted on 4 October, and the other was the minister's engagement with tourism industry representatives on the state of tourism globally. And we had targeted 85% of call center requests to be processed as percentage delivered standards, and 98.2% of those queries were processed within the required time frame. We are in the process in the new building now of setting up a Department of Tourism Contact Center in the new building. But of all the visitors who came to the call center, the contact center that we are currently sharing with the environment, 100% of their issues were addressed. On international relations, we had signed an agreement with Vietnam in October. And we continued our participation in the T20, which was held in Korea last October as well. On regional coordination in South, the preparation for the 2011 festival is coordinated by Ritosa, and the department is consulted. South Africa is a member state as well as consulted through that, but the actual festival is only scheduled for September 2011. Ritosa being the regional tourism organization of South Africa. As a member state as well, we prepared a member state for the United Nations World Tourism Organization. We prepared the South African work program for 2011-12, and this has been submitted to the UNWTO. On the next slide, the South Cooperation, one of the main forums, platforms that we use is the India Pan South Africa Forum, and there was no activity during this reporting period for the IFSA. And the negotiations with China on the agreement is in progress. We have a draft that we have submitted through the International Relations Department and for China to make their input into the draft agreement. And as you have outlined, at the stage of reporting, the vacancy rate in the department was at 21%. We had targeted a 30% vacancy rate, being a new department and experiencing the accommodation constraints that we were. We were at 72% implementation of the performance management development system framework. We had targeted 95%, and we've reviewed that in the new strategy to 100% implementation as a target. At the stage of reporting, we were at 83% implementation of the workplace skills plan, which is about providing necessary development, human resource development training and other required capacity building initiatives. At the stage of reporting on employee relations, we had no cases were outstanding as such, but we had two cases that were awaiting conciliation through the bargaining council. And we, at that time, we were at 65% implementation of the wellness, of the employee wellness plan. And on the representation and meeting of the employee equity targets, we had targeted 50% representation of women. We were standing at 54.76%, which is 161 out of the total of 294 total staff in the establishment. On disability, on people with disability, we had targeted 2% as a standard in government, and we were at 2.04%, which is 6 out of the 294 people in the who were employed in the department at the time. We had targeted 75% representation of blacks. We were standing at 83.67% at the time. And the audit by the AG and the internal auditor as well is currently happening right now. So the issue of compliance with all the prescripts will be verified by the final results of that audit. But as we continue to implement our work and we continue to implement our policies and prescripts, we are standing at 100%. The confirmation from that can come from the audit report once it's finalized. And on the next slide, as of December 2010, we were at 68% of expenditure being spent on BEE enterprises. We had targeted 58%. Some of the work that we do is to support the minister's oversight role on the public entity, which is South African Tourism. And at that stage, all the provisions, performance governance and performance management requirements have been met. With the minister granting an extension is requested by SLT for the submission of the first draft of the strategic plan. And on ensuring public accountability and transparency, we have continued to meet all the tabling requirements in terms of what the PFMA and other guidelines are offering for all the things that are supposed to be tabled in Parliament. We have not missed any of those. And all during this reporting period, all the parliamentary questions that you received were responded to within the specified time frames. And on the legislation that we're currently reviewing, the tourism bill has been approved by MINMET for publication. It's currently going to be MINMET being the forum between the minister and peers in the province. It's now going to be presented. It's going through the cluster system and it's going to be tabled in cabinet prior to publication for the initial comments period. Thank you, Chair.
DG, the finance committee. Thank you. Mr. Thank you, Jake.
Thank you, Chair.
Maybe before you start, let me really apologize for the finance printout. We've done it. I think there's been a miscommunication between us in Pretoria and the head office here in terms of the distribution of the document, Chair. So we're just getting it printed and it'll be circulated to members. Thank you. I'm sorry about it.
Our first program is our administration program. This is broken down up to...
can we give you Mr. Lucan the presenter that you saw? Because we have to bank on the...
This is our first program, administration program. I think if you look at office accommodation, the spend up to end of December was 0%. The reason for that is we only received the money for our new building in the adjustment budget. And that spending, as DJ also explained, is only taking place now in the last quarter. And a small part of that expenditure, we will request National Treasury to roll it over because the orders have been placed already, but the service delivery hasn't taken place yet. If you look at the spend, you will see that the spend is 43% of Program 1. You must always compare this to the drawings of a department. The straight line is usually what National Treasury recommend if you take a straight line method of spending. But we always use the drawings. So if you compare it to the drawings, you will see it's 43%, and the drawing itself is 46%. You can see it also in the graph. If you look at the blue line on the graph, there it shows you our drawing for the building. We put it up in February. That's a high. That's why it's got that spike.
Okay. I'm a qualified accountant, and I can't follow it. What is the difference between expenditure and drawing? Now, I didn't understand the point about the percentage spend and the other drawing. One is 43 and one... I mean, straight line, if people talk about straight line, they talk about depreciation. What is the straight line based with benchmark? I mean, I don't think anyone of the members are following this. I mean, just have an explanation of the terms first, otherwise we're never going to follow this presentation.
Straight line is basically if you take your budget allocation and you divide it by 12 and you say this is the amount that I'm going to spend every month. But up to the third quarter it's 75%.
What is the base of this information? Is it general information?
This is up to December. December. The drawings, the National Treasury does not allocate all the money to us in the beginning of a financial year. So we've got to plan our drawings over the whole financial year. So you might spend most of your money in the last period. So obviously you're not going to request all your funds in the beginning of a financial year. And that is why our drawings for this specific program is 46%. The reason for that is because our expenditure on the building is only in the last quarter.
In fact, sorry, Jeff, the red line, which is expenditure, really what you mean is the departmental allocation. Your drawing is what you've actually used. Is that correct?
Yes.
You haven't actually spent the red line. That's what you have.
No, the red line I actually spent. The red line should actually run on top of the blue line in your drawings. Yes, that's correct. Can I move on?
I think
okay, I think the red line after some time is going to follow the blue line. Depending on how many times, but yeah, I think if you can see the summary, you will see the trend. So this is the detail that we're putting. This is a breakdown up to the lowest level of the department. I don't think I'm going to run through this, but this is just to see where this percentage comes from on the spend up to the end of December. If you look at tourism development, there you can see that the spend is 49%. And the drawings at that stage is 68%. So you can see that we're actually underspending up to the end of December. And there you can also see it on the red line. If you look at the December, it's much lower than your blue line. The reasoning for this is in your tourism development program is your social responsibility. Project situated. And that is just a lower breakdown, which you will get the detail. On tourism growth, on this one you can see because of the transfer payment to SA Tourism, that takes place in certain months where there's a high expenditure. You can see in April, we pay over 60% of the international marketing money and then 40% in September. And you can see on this one, the red and the blue line is actually running on top of one another. In this specific instance, the spending was 92% and our drawings was 90%.
The drawings are what you received from the fiscal?
Yes.
And when you actually pass either SA Tourism or service providers, then you call it expenditure.
Yes.
So you could have money that you've taken from the fiscus after your budget allocation, which is sitting in a bank account
bank
and haven't yet spent.
Yes.
Is that what this is?
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the difference between the two is the money that I haven't spent.
Yeah.
Between the two. I'll show you in the last slide. You can clearly there see what is the money that's lying in our bank account. Policy and research marketing evaluation. The year by spending is 66%, and you can see our drawings is 57%. See, then on the summary one, then you can see exactly what is going on. The spending, you can see, is 72%, and the drawings is 77%. And if you go to the slide after this one, the current underspending, if you look at the cumulative saving, is 56 million rand. That is basically the money that's sitting in your bank account at the end of December. And that is the difference between the red line and the blue line. Now, obviously, in any department, you try to keep those two lines as close as possible because you do not want money to sit in your bank account. Thank you, Chair. Okay. Thank you very much for your presentation. What we will do is that tea is already ready. So we shall break. But I think before we break, there are things that we've got to look at. The issue of audit. Whether you have an internal audit
and the audit committee, which are instruments for control in the department. And if so, what is the quality of that instrument? Did you employ a plumber to do that, or did you employ the proper person? Because that is where the control is of the finance and of the finances. The issue of the tourism bill, at what stage should we expect it as parliament? Because we have a role to play there. Thirdly, the issue of vacancy rates. The limiting factor here was an objective one. It was unavailability of space. So, but now surely you should be having plans. What are the plans now? And when are you going to close those vacancies, given the deadlines were given by the president of less than 3 months to fill in the vacancies? There is the issue of research, the issue of research framework and terms of reference. Whether we use the institutions of research as well, other institutions of research like universities or offering tourism and so forth, or do we compare our research with those? The issue of niche tourism program. Perhaps what direction do we follow, that are we going to follow in terms of geographic spread? I understand there's something integrated with airlines and a number of things, but then how do we overall this thing, foresee this thing panning out? And then when we say that we are going to do something, are we indeed having the resources and the capacity to do it? Are they in place? Because quite often people, we say we are going to have this, we are going to do this, we are going to do that, without having looked at our expertise. We have the project management expertise within the department. Is it directing the things that we say we want to do in the way we want to? Because otherwise we are going to embarrass ourselves every time we pronounce the target. We say we are going to do this, and it can't happen because there are no people to do it, or no institutions to do it, or no time, the time and so forth, because the skill for projecting these things, which quite often lies with the project management, is not there. So if these things, let us try and see. But let us break, and then let us have the other presentation, and then when we come back, after SA Tourism, we shall have this report to the department. Thank you very much.
I'm from the presentation you want to from the
let's take 10 minutes and come back. That means we shall be back at 11. I'm going to go to the hospital. Let us select the areas of concern or where we want to be clarified under the National Department of Tourism, and then for questioning immediately after the presentation by South African Tourism. So over to you, Ms. Tanyuavi, and your team. We are ready.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm accompanied by our COO, Tim Scott, and of course, Roisin. Roisin Singh, our CMO. I do that to my children to really forget their name. Sorry, Chair. In any case, Roisin is going to present a more detailed analysis, chairperson of our business review. But just to set the conversation going, I will make mention of some of the highlights and the important issues in terms of our deliverables, starting with our tourist arrivals for 2010, which is at 8.073, as you can see, 552, which is a growth of 1.061687, a 15.1% as compared to 2009. This compares very well, Chairperson, in international terms. The figures from the United Nations WTO show that global tourism arrivals is estimated to have grown by 6.7% in 2010, which means that South Africa outperforms the global market by more than 8%. Our revenue figures will be released, of course, for the annual report. Our domestic market was affected by the financial crisis as domestic tourism decreased by 8% in 2009, with 30 million trips being undertaken compared to the 33 million in 2008. Domestic tourists also tightened their spending in 2009 as total revenue declined by 14% to 22 billion. The figures for 2010 will be released again on the 29th of March and included in the annual report. You do know, Chairperson, as our previous our discussion last week, that domestic tourism is extremely central to our agenda. South Africa maintained a similar level of awareness in 2010 as was reported for 2009. However, our performance dipped slightly on proximity and short-term consideration in 2010. Compared to 2009. We performed exceptionally well in the period immediately after the World Cup, but then moderated down back to pre-World Cup levels by November. And these will be discussed in more detail, Chairperson, in our presentation. We have reached just over 1.7 billion consumers in 2010-11 with a combination of brand TVCs, vignettes, outdoor executions, and online impressions. So the response has been good in that regard. Our key initiative for 2011-12 will be the rollout of our 20 Experiences in 10 Days campaign, another one, Chairperson, which has received a lot of positive feedback and reception, and the launch of Phase 2, which features visitors from Angola, Brazil, China, and Germany. Winning in 2011-2012 is about pushing harder and leveraging our phenomenal brand awareness, our passivity from the 2010 World Cup, which still remains, and our key marketing strategy will continue to focus on protecting our leadership in wildlife and adventure, which will be supported by our hospitality and welcoming people. And our 10 experiences in 10 days campaign really does a lot of good for our welcoming people agenda. We have a powerful creative idea that will drive all our work in the 2011-2012 fiscal. We will also comment on activities within the grading council, which Roisin will talk to at the end of the presentation. I'll hand over to Roisin. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, CEO. The way that I'm going to look at this is just to start looking at what our mandate is as South African Tourism, what our performance has been to date, and then our performance against targets. Keeping in mind that the year has actually not quite ended. So we welcome the opportunity to speak to you, but we are speaking to you in March. So a lot of the work that we needed to calculate will only be ready by April or May. So we will give you to date where we are on a number of these issues. If you just look at what our vision is, we've said this many times before, we want to be the preferred tourist destination in the world so that we can maximize the economic potential of tourism for our country and its people. And therefore, our mission is to have a world-class international tourism marketing strategy and on domestic tourism, which we have put there as part of how we will do this. So the mandate that we have had up to now, which ends at the end of March 2011, is that we have four key targets or objectives. We have targets that we've set for total arrivals to South Africa. We also have targets for total average spend inside South Africa. We have targets to be the most preferred tourist brand. And we have targets on being the best tourism organization. So these are the four areas that we focus on in terms of how we report back to you. And we've put at the bottom what are the big things we do to get there. I will be speaking today about the targets on arrivals and on brand. I do not have the spend figures yet because we're still calculating them, but they will be available in the next month, and then we will make them available to you. So in terms of performance, as the CEO said, and I just want to be clear here for all the members, I'm going to be giving you two figures. I'm starting off talking about tourist arrivals. As we've explained before, we've separated our tourists and we've separated our total visitor arrivals. Tourist arrivals to South Africa in 2010 grew by 15.1% in total, and this is where you see the growth. North America grew by 22.5%, Europe by 8.1%, Middle East by close to 20%, Asia was up 39%, Australasia 26.3%, with Africa up 12.8%, and a very huge increase out of Central and South America of 109%. Now, we all know that a lot of this growth was driven because we had the World Cup last year. And the World Cup brought 309,000 people to South Africa. But if you look at a growth of 15.1%, the World Cup has only contributed to 4% of that growth. So we still grew 11% over and above the World Cup, which would have had something to do with an interest in the destination and probably related to it, but it's important to put it in context. If you look at us, this one, when you read it as the rest of the world and what their receipts are on tours. So our arrivals grew by 15.1%. The average growth in the world was 6.7%. So Middle East is the only other country that had, only other region in Asia that had double-digit growth. So they had 12.6% and Middle East had 13.9%. Compared to South Africa. So we still surpassed growth out of the other regions, and as South Africa, we also surpassed growth for Africa as total. So if you look at our figures at the bottom, it tells you what the tourist arrivals are to the rest of the world. So if you look at a number like 203 million there, that's the number of people that go to Asia and the Pacific. If you look at this slide, this is what I was saying earlier, that we actually have growth throughout the year. So as a country, we ought to be proud of the fact that we had growth. That yellow line, that's above the green line, is 2010. So from January to December, we had growth. And I think, you know, I sat here last year this time saying that 2009 was not a great year for us, especially out of the markets that have recession. And we're happy to say that 2010 has been a good year from all regions, for all of us from in the country. And then if you look at where did we get the growth from, it was our long-haul markets that actually showed more growth of 21%. So although bread and butter arrivals are from Africa land markets, the growth there was sitting at 12.8%, but the long-haul markets went from 1.9 million to 2.3 million people. And then I've just split this up into different regions again, just to split up the 8 million visitors, I mean tourists, and you'll see that Africa Air grew at 14%, Africa Land at 12.8%, Americas at 37.4%. This is what I showed you earlier on the map. This is just in the bar graph form to see the difference between 09 and 2010 and the numbers. Now, I'm talking about foreign visitor arrivals. Because as Parliament knows, we set our targets on foreign visitor arrivals. So when we report to you, to everyone else, and wherever we are talking, we will talk these figures because this is the tourist figures. But when we speak to Parliament and when we draw internal documents and we've got to measure targets, we haven't yet reached a point where we got enough information on tourists to be able to set targets. Because you must have at least 5 years of information. We've got information for 2009 and 2010. We only have 2 years. And 2010 has not been a normal year. And therefore, we haven't been able to set targets around tourists. But we will continue to track it and continue to report on it. But when we set targets, we're setting targets on foreign visitors. So our 2010 target was 4.2% on visitors. And we actually reached a total number of 11.3 million visitors, which is an increase of 14.7%. So we can report here that there has been an exceeding of targets in every single region. For the first time since we've been reporting to you in the last 2 years, we've actually seen growth out of every single region because we've had bad times out of Asia and we've had bad times out of Europe in the past. So clearly, 2010 was a good year for the country. And the target is the bold figure there. So it starts with 4.2%, 2.7%, 5.6%. And then you can see below that, above that, sorry, what was the percentage that we actually did receive. We were a lot more conservative in setting our 2011 targets, but I think you spoke about that last week, because we do know that 2010 was a year that took us out of the dip in 2009, and now we need to get to a more normal level. Then our next lot of targets, I'm moving away from arrivals, and I did say earlier, just to remind you, that I don't have the spend figures for 2010, but I will have them by the end of April, so we can share that with you after the end of April. The next lot of targets we do is brand targets, and we've identified specific targets around brands that we need to measure. And in this slide, what I'm looking at is the closure ratio. So when people want to come to South Africa, how quickly can we convert them and what is the conversion figure that we are working on? And what we found is that in our core markets, we actually improved on our closure ratio from 1 in 2.85 to 1 in 2.73. Ideally, we want to get to a point of 1 in 2, but it doesn't work like that for every market. There are markets where it's below that, so it means for every 2 people that want to visit South Africa, 1 must be converted. So how do we take them from considering to actually visit? In our investment markets, we had a drop on the closure ratio. It went from 1 in 3.12 to 1 in 3.92. So clearly, there's a bit more work that we need to do in the bottom half of the slide, which is what we call our investment markets, where we are tracking. And if you look at the top, we also put it down for each market, what does it look like in terms of the conversion ratio. The second one is, the CEO mentioned earlier, is we track awareness and we track positivity and we track short-term consideration to visit South Africa. Now, in 2010, we reached an awareness figure of 79% and we went over what the target was. The target was 77%. The target was based on working from 75 to 79 and looking at keeping it somewhere there. We managed to exceed the target on awareness. However, if you look at positivity, our global target was 40%, but in November we only got a score of 36%. I want to show you what happened after the World Cup and then what happened in November, because I think certain things happened in the country and probably our own work where we actually dropped back on positivity. In terms of source information, we did slightly better than 2009, but we didn't reach target. Target was 26%. So 26% globally of people who are interested in us, did they seek information? And how many of them are likely to visit us? We wanted it likely to visit to be 14%, but it was only 10%. We dropped slightly on that number. This is not telling us how many people will come, but this is telling us more for the longer term, where are we sitting in the consumer's head? How are they thinking about us? What is that journey in their head? Now, this shows you what happened immediately after the World Cup. We did brand tracking. Normally, we do brand tracking twice a year, February and November. But last year, we decided to do an extra round, and we did one in August. So what happened in August is awareness was up at 85%, which we expect after the World Cup. Positivity was at 43%, sought information was at 26%, and likely to visit was at 14%. So if we had only come here and shown you the August figures, we were well above target. But being honest and showing you our November figures, and we're saying that we didn't maintain the positivity and the huge awareness immediately after the World Cup. So clearly there is work to do. We're not doing too badly on awareness, but on the positivity, a number of things happened in November which could have led to that, and we'll have to see what happens when we go out again in February 2011, because those figures will be coming through in the next few. This just gives you a little bit more detail on how the brand journey scored in our core markets. And again, we're showing you what happened on the whole journey after the World Cup and then later in November, some of the slippage that happened. And then this is for the investment markets, where we made some ground, but we also lost some ground. So when we put it all together, you see the average. But we do have this information for every single market. So when we do business planning, we'll take a market like China and we'll look at exactly what happened there. So we do have it, and we can look at it and drill down to see what exactly was the issue. And this is the slide which just shows you across the world, what are we sitting at, who's dropping on positivity, who's increasing slightly. So if you look at a market where we're doing very well, as India, so positivity in India is sitting at 42%, likely to visit has gone up. The one in brackets is last year, and the combination of February and November 2009, and the one that's not in brackets is this year, is 2010, February and November, sorry, 2009-2010. So if you look at India, there's just been an increase across the board in terms of brand and how people are seeing us, which then gives us a good idea of what's happening in India. If you look at a market like the UK, where we dropped on positivity, that was really where the big drop happened and probably led to the average going down. So, you know, that just gives you a sense. The other markets were either flat or slight smaller decreases. Then it shows you in the investment markets, and then you can understand why the average. Because sometimes when you look at averages, averages don't tell you what really happened and where are we driving the numbers up or down. So that's really the third part of what we report on, which is about brands and the brand targets. This is just a little bit more detail on the kinds of things we track around people's brand journey, where the main things that we track around ourselves as a country is whether we are memorable, how do we stand on nature and wildlife, because we're meant to lead in that area. Where do we stand on welcoming people, which is culture and issues around culture, and where do we stand around adventurous, because we are an adventure destination. We're not the normal kind of destination. And we've had slight drops on all of them in terms of knowledge, not very big. It's more or less remained flat. And at the bottom, though, the two that we call table stakes are issues of value for money and safety and security. If you don't get these right, you know, just to move people even thinking about you is a problem. And in both those, we've had a drop. Again, these all did much better. Value for money and safety and security did much better after the World Cup. But when we looked at 2010 as a whole, it was a slight drop. Not very big. And then we also went into showing what happened between February and November, and then in August where we were. So if we put in August, that's where you see that value for money, we did better. We had gone to 4.7, and then we came down again to 4.5. Safety and security, we had gone to 3.61, and then we came down again to 3.42. These numbers are out of 7, by the way, in case you're wondering. So anything closer to 7 is a better number. Closer to 1 is a worse number. And then we also rank ourselves against competitors. So we look at how is our brand performing against our competitors. And in each of these markets, if you take the Netherlands or Germany or UK, it's a different competitor. Because we work out in those markets who would be the competitor against us. And this particular one we're working on about where we sit in terms of 10 competitors. So what's our ranking in terms of competitors? The bracket tells us our ranking in 2009, and then we compare to 2010 where we're sitting. Anything that's dark green, I know you, means that we're above average. Okay. White is that we are average, and light green is that we are below average on the score. So you can see that we're still pretty below average on welcoming people you can interact with. And that's why a lot of our work that you're going to see going forward is that's where we're really putting emphasis on. Because it's very important that we score higher in that area. We actually, it's a strength of the country. But perception-wise, people don't see it before they come here. After they come here, yes, they see it. And then we try to build around areas like the wide variety and authenticity, etc. But we still lead in a lot of the markets on adventurous and natural wildlife. So at least if you're making a big decision to visit South Africa, you will make it based on those two. Okay. So those were in terms of those targets. Now just to look at a little bit of the marketing work and where we went to in 2010. I think we did report to this committee that we were spreading our money quite wide in 2010. It was a World Cup year. Before the World Cup, we were going very wide on global reach. We were not just focusing on the markets that sit in our portfolio. And this is a report of where we reached. So, in total, we reached 1.7 billion consumers, as the CEO said earlier. With BBC, we reached Europe, Africa, Middle East, Asia, and the Americas, and it was a total of 296 million. With CNN, we did the Europe, Middle East, Africa feed, and we reached 609 million people. The countries are listed there as well. With Eurosport, we had a slightly smaller but more targeted reach of 123 million, but we did specific programs with Eurosport, and then we sponsored things like the Euro Goals, the USA PGA, so that we could essentially own certain products on Eurosport. With Fox, we had a total reach of 31 million. National Geographic, a total reach of 370, and we extended the National Geographic deal to reach Australia and to reach Asia and Middle East. With News Corp, where we put a lot of our investment into Latin America, because we needed to reach those markets which were not normally in our portfolio. We reached 344 million, and a lot of it was actually out of the Pan Latin America region. So in total, this was our reach, and it was pretty global in 2010. In terms of our website traffic, if you look at the 6 months, October to March 9-10 to October to March 10-11, we had a 21% increase in traffic on our SouthAfrica.net platform. However, we declined in terms of the number of page views as well as the pages that people visited. With the call center, we didn't have as many calls. We had 16,996 compared to 18,000 in the previous 6 months of the same period. So there was a decline of 7.2. And again, I think that was a lot of the calls were related to the World Cup previously. And then we just measured email and fax as well. How do we look like in 2010 compared to our competitors in terms of the money we spend and our share voice? We have shown you this before. It's a full year. It's Jan to December, 09 to Jan. This is not work done by us. This is done by media companies, and we subscribe to their research. So their research says that in comparison to our competitors, we stood at number 4 in terms of share of voice last year, with India, Morocco, and Egypt spending more money than us. And we spend more than Thailand, Kenya, Brazil, with about the same as Australia. But they declined their spending in 2010. So our spending in 2010 went up, as were our key competitors. And if you look at other markets, it was mixed. In terms of business tourism, you may know that we had Meetings Africa in February this year, and I've just got the figures. These are still unaudited figures, but in total at Meetings Africa, we had a 21% growth in the total number of visitors, which went up from 1,755 to 2,131. I know that a lot of members were at Meetings Africa last year because it was the same time as the UN Events Conference. The slight decline there is on exhibitor personnel, not on the number of exhibitors. So the total attendees went up, and our visitor number went up by 21%. This just tells you who were the visitors, and most of them were actually buyers, which is good for business tourism going forward. And then this is the exhibiting companies, which went up by 39% from 153 to 212 companies that registered, that exhibited it. In terms of our public relations reach, I need to just explain that I don't have the figure for March 2010. So it's not a real comparison between the two. So if you look at it, I'm comparing October 09 to March 2010 with October 2010 to Feb 2011. And we haven't really finished even calculating the whole affair. But because I didn't want to have a blank slide, I just brought to date where we were. But the main thing here, the main story is that PR value has come down. The World Cup gave us an opportunity we're not going to get again to get the kind of PR value we had across the world. So it did come down by almost $1 billion. This is free publicity that we generate in the different markets. We did have a problem with the ones that are in asterisks, Angola and DRC, we didn't really measure previously. We're now measuring them because they've become core markets in this year. So we started measuring them. In India, we had a gap in measuring, mainly because we had capacity problems in that market. So this is not a true reflection of what happened in that market on PR. In terms of the domestic market, the CEO has already said that all we can give you is what we have given you before, is 2009, because the 2010 results will only be released next week by the minister on the 29th of March. So we will make sure that that information comes through to Parliament for domestic. We've already also said that we had a campaign that we started last year called 20 Experiences 10 Days, and we had couples coming here from India, US, UK, and Nigeria, and we developed a more authentic platform. So I wanted to show you some of the work if my machine decides to do that. Always a problem. We're showing you the next one because of the sound. Nigeria. Thank you. I'm sorry about the sound. But that's the work that we've gone out with that I showed you earlier on the different platforms that I showed you. And then this just shows you some of the applications around training experiences in 10 days where it's online as well with a lot more information and a lot more footage of the experiences that they had from the different markets. This is UK, US, Nigeria, and India. But as the CEO said, from April we will be doing Angola, China, Germany, and Brazil. Those are the four markets that are coming up next. And people can then book a trip and find out more about the country. This is something we've just done in China. This is a train wrap in Beijing with an estimated reach of 10 million people. And this was done now in the 6 months, where we decided to just go a little bit bigger in China as well, because our future plans are to do more with China, India, Brazil. That's also the train wrap, and that one was in Beijing, and we've done it in Shanghai. Then this is some work from the domestic market, the outdoor billboards that we've got, the research booklet, the events that we do together, so like the Cape Town Jazz, the Vodacom Challenge, these are events that we've promoted to the domestic market. They usually do get sold out. We also have a Mobi site called Short Left, where people on their cell phones can go and find special deals. That's some of the outdoor billboards that were done for Short Left. And the new campaign will be starting next year. Same ideas, of course, but just a new campaign, which the minister is speaking about next week in Limpopo. Okay, now I'm just going to quickly run through the grading council review. If you remember, the main idea around grading council was that we had to change the system of quality assurance so that it can be more reliable. There was a lot of discussion here, and my colleague Tembi, when she was here, explained how the new system works. So we needed to get more integrity in the process and simplify the billing process so that we had a more equitable fee structure. She showed you the example of a six-room guest house in Soweto and a six-room guest house in Sandton, and how they had to then change the way that we would look at the billing structure for that. To get the industry to see the value and stop the illegal use of staff. Also to make sure that the assessor's competence was improved. So firstly, the new criteria were introduced. In fact, today, the minister is with the team in Port Elizabeth, Nelson Mandela Bay, where they are actually promoting the criteria, although it has started. So the key achievements have been comprehensive consultation. The new criteria started in October 2010, and end of March there will be about 1,500 properties that are graded using the new grading criteria, and the rest will follow as they expire in the next 12 months. We need to protect the brand. We redesigned the plaque, and also working with the national department to ensure that government departments use only graded establishments, and that we look at assistance through the Consumer Protection Act, which Nomzamo spoke about earlier. This is what the new plaque, and in terms of the new Consumer Protection Act, this is the design that we looked at. In terms of the assessors, there's very strict service provider agreements that have been signed, and they all had to write an exam and had to get an 80% pass mark, which was done last year in August, before they could come in. And then the grading fee is now based on the average room rate, as well as the number of rooms. That was introduced on the 1st of October. And the assessor portion was reduced to 55% of that from 60%. We're also using IT infrastructure, and there's a system called QIT, Quality in Tourism System, so that everything is done online. There is no way that a human error can be caused, or you know, people go in and use their own judgment. They have to actually fill in online everything about the property. As we're going to some of the glitches, it all has been done now. And we're happy to report that the last time the awards committee met, they didn't reject any properties. The properties were all accepted. Also, getting the industry to see the value. There is a mistake on your slide, this one, where the annual increase, the last column under 2010-11 budget, should not be 0.8%, but should be 8.5%. So between 9-10 to 10-11, even though the year is not completed, we expect to reach the 10% target. However, Tembi wanted me to explain to the committee, so that if it came up again, is that we are cleaning up the database as we go into the new IT system. So some of these numbers that you might see may go up and down. Eventually, they will come to that number. But there will be some up and down this year as the database is cleaned up and people who are sitting there who have not renewed for a while are actually removed. That is the process that they are undergoing at the moment from the grading house. Okay, I'm then going to just go into the financial results for the 2010-11 financial year. Again, again, we've done this for 10 months, so to the end of January 2011, of our budget of 760 million, we have spent 660. So we were 87% spent on our annual budget for the first 10 months of the year. The strong rand is obviously a blessing and a curse to tourism. It's a curse to us because it makes our destination more expensive for people who are coming in here with dollars and pounds because they're getting less for their money. But it's a blessing to us because we have to spend rands overseas. And when we spend our rands overseas, we actually get more because the rand is stronger. So we had a lot of forex profits that we realized because of the way we peg the rand. And of our 16 business units in 10 country offices, most managed to spend 100% of their budget. However, there may be a surplus of 15 million for the 2010-11 financial year for the following reasons. We delayed our office opening in Angola to April because we had to conclude some research and hire a person. We now have a trade manager in place for Angola, and the office will be formally opened on the 1st of April. We've already set it up. It's being refurbished as we speak. In our London office, we had some delays on some expenditures, such as a joint marketing agreement with Emirates, which was delayed and will now happen in May. So they have some savings. In our China office, which we only opened last year, we had budgeted to hire five people besides the country manager in that office, but we haven't got around to hiring the full staff. We now have hired them, but we saved overheads in the period. And then we also have some foreign exchange savings, which during February and March that we will reallocate because we're not sure what's going to happen with the rand next year. So we are looking at putting this money more into the domestic marketing aspect of our work. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The tourists
definition is someone who says at least one night. The last time we looked at it, can I just confirm it missing that that is still the tourist definition, and therefore that will be closer to 7 million. So I can relate this slide to tourists rather than simply visitor arrivals. And the second question is on page 22 on this presentation. The value for money under safety and security table six. If I understood that correctly, we've actually declined 4 years in a row on both of them. It seems quite strange. I know that during the World Cup, or just after the World Cup, it improved. But I was wondering why that's getting worse, when in fact we've appeared to have invested our money in terms of advertising quite wisely, and yet the perception that we don't want is growing rather than receding. And then the last question on this particular presentation would be that we have the graph from one of the earlier pages comparing 2009 and 2010, if I can just find it. Excuse me. Yeah. On page 11, I think one of the critical figures that we would want to look at is how did the actual tourists or foreign arrivals, depending on what you're looking at, compared before and after the World Cup. It's not all that easy to assess it here because you've got two lines, you have to take a ruler and try to work it out. But one would like to take June and July out of these figures, I think, and then compare January to May per month, and then perhaps August to December. So we can see after all the World Cup tourists have gone back home, was there a residual increase in tourism? That's after a while we had the World Cup. I don't quite see it on the graph. I may be right or may be wrong, but it's very hard to actually tell. And of course, the ash cloud makes it even more difficult. But I really would appreciate it because it really is the be-all and end-all, I think, in many of the things that we did in the 46 billion rand that we spent last year. I'd love to get an assessment from South African Tourism as to whether they think some of this 15% increase is directly attributable to the rebranding exercise we did during the World Cup. Then on the other presentation, Chairperson, a couple of questions there. Right, unfortunately these pages aren't numbered, but it's the strategic objective to address imbalanced geographic spread and seasonality of tourists and visitors. It talks about, in the very first one, number of accommodation and conferencing facilities developed in less visited provinces. 8 of these were initiated. 11 projects are at a different stage of planning and implementation. I wonder if there's any assessment that's been made by the department as to whether there's some kind of indication on cost versus return. I mean, are these new accommodation and conferencing facilities running at a profit? Is it worth the money that we've spent? Is there kind of cost-benefit analysis that can bring to bear? Because I think just to say, well, we wanted to do 8 and we did 11, well, it tells us we met the target, but is it a target that actually is benefiting the country? Is it something which, in fact, has created jobs or you know, does the tax return justify the expenditure? I mean, it's simply a number as opposed to a qualitative assessment. And then my last question is a couple of pages on about promoting enterprise development in the tourism sector, and it talks about the number of enterprises that were supported to start up. A target of 10 and 1,270 actually were supported to start up. So, I mean, I think that goes to what the DG was saying in his opening remarks. Some of the targets perhaps are far too low. But what I really wanted to ask is, how were these enterprises supported to start up? Was it by way of grants? Is it by way of soft loans? What actually is that indicator telling us? Again, if it was by grants, are we getting our money's worth? Should it be by loan? You know, in order to then give somebody else a chance, once the loan is paid back, give another enterprise a chance, and therefore make that money go further. Very little detail then, I'd like to know a little bit about that. Thanks, Chair. Those are my questions.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, I would like to congratulate the department having, you know, I've heard that they are having their, they are about to move into their new building whereby they will be able to perform their duties in a better way. Congratulations. Shall done. But now, that is Department of Tourism, the first briefing. There's something that I would like to know, because now and again, you will find that people come to you trying to find out how can they apply, through which channels should the application go through when trying to apply for, I mean, as an educator, for an example. That is quite simple, because I am going to tell whoever I'm addressing, where do you send your application? And one other thing, I would like to seek clarity on this one, because at a certain stage you find that there are people who would like to see themselves serving in this department, who have interest in tourism, but now they don't have the means. Does the department have bursaries? Do they issue bursaries or no? You spoke of wellness plan in tourism. I would just kindly request that you expand a bit wellness on tourism. What actually happens? South African Tourism Grading Council. At times you find that the grading has been made. There's 3-star, 4-star, 5-star. Guest house, hotel, B&B, you name it. But now, what I would like to know, is there no cheating from the owner or from the management? Let's say per room, it costs 500 rand per room. When I come, I'm told it's 550. How does you, the department, you know, handle that one? Because I would see that this one, it should be 350, but now I'm told it's 550 and the grading is 4-star. How does the department handle that one? Because cheating is there to stay anyway. Well, I learned that we did very well in 2010. But thereafter, we just went down a little bit. this morning I was listening to the MEC from KZN, Honorable Mabuya Kulu. He was giving us figures about KZN, their achievement in tourism. And I was quite excited. And I still feel we have a chance of growing from where we are, comparing ourselves to what we did in 2010. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to say thank you to the Department and to the Dreams of Africa for the presentation. I want to ask the Department on the universal accessibility. I read an article last week on Thursday about the, I see that there's certain minimum requirements that should be in place. But for instance, the problem was raised that if you've got 50 rooms, you've got to have one universal accessibility room. And the industry basically then goes about it or around it by having, for instance, when you've got a 25-room venue, then you don't need to have that. Is that one of the issues that will be addressed? And how are we going to make sure? I know that some people that gave comments in the article said that South Africa is one of the destinations that people with disabilities can actually have access to, but there are still some, and we are on the forefront of driving the issue of making it accessible. But how are we going to make sure, and will it also, and this goes to the Tourism of Africa, with a grading system, will this also be implemented there, and how is the loopholes going to be closed for to make it more, so that someone doesn't see on a website. I mean, I've personally had the experience of booking a venue, not for, you know, for accessibility for disability, but venue on a website and seeing, you know, this is what it looks like, and arriving there, finding that it does not look like the same venue at all. So, and also, how can one address those type of problems if you do travel and you come across it? I mean, I don't know
who exactly I can contact on that specific issue. Thanks. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just want to congratulate the department in retraining or giving the assessors the integrity. Because in the past, it was just not off. So I just want to ask, how is this plaque protected? It's not going to be easy redesigned by others who used to do that in the past. And then I would like to know, how are we going to encourage those who are not graded, because the data is going to be cleaned up? And here is the voiceless of the rural. How are we going to get those rural to know that the grading is there, that is on now? How are they going to get the information of this grading? I'm happy about this assessor. What the department is saying, really, it was disgusting in the past. You find people having 5 stars. When you get in, it seems even the star is not there. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Jefferson. Just a very few questions. I want to place my questions on the presentation on, I want to call it Vote 24, expenditure report as it month ended December 2010. Firstly, I think this is now a point of clarification. You see, I think it's the first time I come across this kind of presentation where you have the problem versus the expenditure. So I'm still trying to grapple, you know, with the understanding those graphs. So can you just explain to me the relationship, particularly if you look at slide, the first slide there on administration. You see, you've got drawings. I suppose that is money in the bank and the expenditure not yet not coinciding with the drawings. I don't know if I'm understanding the challenge because that's why I need an explanation. Do you have money in the bank when you are not ready to use it? You know, something like that. So those are the questions I have in my mind. Now also, the next slide, which shows the expenditures per directorate. Well, unfortunately, the pages are not numbered, but I think it is the second page on program one. How do you explain the legal expenditure in some of the items? Yeah, in some of the items there, when we are almost at the end of the financial year. I mean, if, for instance, the program has spent, let's say, 15% of its allocation or of its budget, like the international relations. They may be small monies, but they are monies all the same. Office accommodation, information communication technology, coordination and administration. My question is, if, for instance, this section has spent so little up to now, well, what hope is there that they will have spent their money by next week, when the financial year ends? And what does the department do about it when there's net expenditure at this point in time? And again, you see, I will always nag you about this question of the expanded public works program. I'm sorry about that. Because, you see, we want to see it. We want to see where it is working. We want to see whether really our people are benefiting from this program. This time we're talking about the area of tourism. There again, on the third slide, program two, expanded public works program and expanded public works program incentive. Both of them, I see what is expenditure, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. It's still very little, below 50%. Well, what does that really mean? Where's the money now that the year is about to end? What about this unemployment we are talking about? If money that is meant, for instance, to assist people in creating jobs is still lying somewhere unspent at this time of the year when we are just about to complete the financial year. I just need explanations. Maybe you have explanations. Otherwise, I think I want to add my voice to what the other colleagues have said about the good presentation that we have received this morning. We enjoy it, but of course it is at the end of the homework at the end of the day. Thank you very much.
Unfortunately, we have a limited amount of time. Let us have responses. And then further responses, perhaps we can just write to the committee. Can let us know so that we can write to the committee. Over to the CEO and teaching.
Chair, thank you very much. Unfortunately, there was the first question raised by Honourable Brian, and I realize it's not in the room. Chair, you would realize also in the document that we just presented, I just want to explain the dynamics of strategy implementation. You realize in the document that we just presented that we have given targets of 95% that would answer all the queries from Parliament. 95% of questions will be answered. Now the question is, what happened to the other 5%? Now if we attain 95%, are we going to say we performed at the end of the day? Because there's a target. Technically, yes. But realistically, no. Because those are governance issues. If there's a question that comes from Parliament, all those questions must be answered. That's what we are required to do. So if you look at that targeting, we under-targeted this. We're not supposed to be at 95%. It should be 100%. If we do 100%, we've done what we are supposed to do. Similarly, with the PMDS system, you realize the performance development and management system. You realize that we say would have this at 95% now. The PMDS is very broad. It encompasses a lot of issues. It includes the development of the strategy. It includes the performance, the agreements with everybody in the department. It includes the appraisal of this performance. It includes the review of the implementation of the strategy. Now, if we are saying we're going to do 95%, have we performed? My answer is no, we didn't. But these are issues that are reflected in the strategy. And that's why I'm saying as we move forward, those governance issues, we're going to work on 100% because that's what is required. It's the minimum that is required, 100%. Now, if we can do over and above that, we have to show the innovation that we have included in the implementation of that strategy. And that's what it's called, the stretching of the targets. But we can't put 95% to come back to say we've done 100%, we've exceeded our target. We're actually cheating the system, simple. If you have people who are working in the system, we pay them. Then the PMDS system then should reflect on people that are being paid, have a performance agreement, it's a requirement in the system. So those are issues that I'm saying as we clean up and look at the strategy, we're dealing with them. Captain, you've raised the question of we've established the internal audit unit. It's there, and it's functioning. The internal audit unit has already done the risk assessment within the department to see where are the high risks. And amongst the high risks, mind you, it involves areas of the extended public works project, because that's where we spend a lot of money. There are new governance systems that we've included to ensure that this money is properly accounted for. Meetings have been held with the treasurer to try to streamline it. Unfortunately, because this is one area that even when I came into the department, I was so confused that we give money before services rendered, and we had to schedule a meeting with the director general in the treasurer and a meeting with the acting director general at public works, and then we wrote to the auditor general. But apparently, in terms of this project, there's been an agreement that you can give money to people to implement the project. Now, because you give money before the projects are implemented, you've got to be very thorough in terms of the governance systems that are there for the implementation of the resources. Some of the questions you've raised in terms of releasing the funds to implement some of these projects in the province has been related specifically to governance systems. Now, as of December, we've cleared some of the governance systems in some of those projects, and we've released and we have approved this project to be implemented. Once we are satisfied with the governance system, we've taken the issue of governance systems, even within the MINMEX system, to ensure that there's a clear understanding of the role of the provinces and the role of the national government and the partnership. Now, during the last MINMEX that we had during the course of this month in Durban, there was a presentation to all MECs in terms of the project that we're going to implement in those provinces and the concerns in terms of accounting for those projects. Because the problem, of course, always with this kind of project, people want the experience to implement when the systems are not in place. Because we are not implementing, we get different project implementers in those provinces to run with this project, even though we have our own people on the ground who are monitoring the implementation of this project. But the level of risk is very high. But fortunately, up to now, we haven't had very serious problems related to this. I think there's one or two cases that we are really pursuing, conducting some forensic investigation to look at what happened. But overall, in terms of the implementation of the project, they've been going very well. We've had instances where there are challenges in terms of implementation. We've refused to implement those projects where we are not satisfied with the government system. But that's the minimum that we can do. The details will emerge once we start the implementation of the project, and we keep on interacting with that. And that's why it's a partnership. partnership between us, the provincial government, and the local government in terms of implementation. So that's it in terms of that. And I'm saying the internal audit unit has been working on scoping the risks within different units, and it has been a very useful experience. We've also established the audit committee, and the audit committee, we've had a joint meeting of the audit committee and the auditor general's office together with the minister to look at their findings in terms of the systems that we have and how to strengthen the systems. So it has been very useful. So those units are working in the department. We've also opened up space for the audit committee to be able to interact with the minister and to have an access to discuss with the minister what their findings are in terms of the control systems that we have in the department. So those issues are addressed. The question of research, if you look at what we have allocated for our research unit next, it's about 5 million rand. And we have set up a research peer committee that would include a lot of academics from different institutions, and they will be doing this on pro bono basis to try to critique and look at our own research work in the department, because a research terrain, as you know, is very contested. It depends on your methodology. And that will determine your findings at the end of the day. But we wanted any product that we do a research on, that it's not only our own view in the department, but we have this kind of a committee that would assist to critique any research that we've had. But the ownership of the material belongs to the department. So that committee we've concluded with the minister will be establishing it during the course of this year. And we've selected academics from different institutions who will be sitting and assisting us in this. So it will really strengthen our research capability, and we'll be sure that the material that is produced by our unit is subjected to a serious critique by people who are involved in the field. So that's better. With respect to the state facilities that we're building, I'll leave that to Lerato to answer that question from Honorable Kronbrook. Also, the enterprise development, if we really get money on those issues, Lerato would come on that. There was a question that I really did not understand, and that it relates to the question, the Honorable Zigalala, around the wellness on tourism. I really did not understand. Maybe it was tourism awareness, not the wellness as such. In the document, maybe there's something I missed. If some of my colleagues understood that, they would come back. Mm-hmm. Now let me also speak on the question of the universal accessibility that was raised by Honorable Ter Blanche. Now you see the challenge in terms of universal accessibility. We actually discovered now, when we were interrogating the approach in this, that we should not reinvent the wheel, because there is a ministry that is specifically tasked to deal with people with disability and so on, and that ministry is located in the presidency. And we wanted to find out if there are clear guidelines or there are clear legislative frameworks that would help us to guide our sector. Because now, with the implementation of the National Tourism Sector Strategy, we're going to have a forum where we'll be interacting with the provincial, the local government, and the non-governmental sector. And some of these issues will be dealt with in that framework. We realize that there's no legislative framework guiding that. Now, do we really invent that when there's a ministry that is tasked with that? Because we thought we'd use the existing government legislative framework to guide our sector and ensure that we are compliant in terms of that. Now, that's where the challenge is, and I'm saying we just discovered it actually sometimes in December when we were interrogating our approach to this. Now, it's one thing that we would take up with the relevant ministry to see if they really intended to come up with some guidelines. But we know, all of us, that it's a requirement where you have public facilities that it must cater for people with disability. Now, the level of disability, you realize it varies. In certain instances, you'll find elevators that have a voice command. They have some braille reading, some they don't, even in public areas. So it's a challenge that is generally there within the society, not necessarily on the sector. But it would have been very useful if there was a guiding legislative framework that we could work on, that would be very binding on everybody. in the absence of that, it's a code of good conduct that people do it and they create the facilities for people with disabilities. Now, other questions, I'll really leave them for my colleagues, including the spending on the public works and Manjula that you raised. I think this year the projects that we are having in provinces on extended public works projects, we're going to get better value. But we're going to be very strict in terms of the release of the money. We're not just going to give people money to go and implement and the projects that are not sustainable. We're looking at the sustainability of this project so that we don't end up creating a big walls all over and nothing happens in there. So that's part of the evaluation. We'd rather not spend the money, rather than keep the money and spend it for projects that are not sustainable. They will serve very short-term interest, and in terms of the long-term and the growth of the economy, their contribution in the country is very minimal. So it's not paying for money, if that is the argument. So these are some of the issues that we are introducing, but we've had a discussion, as I indicated, with different levels of, with different spheres of government to try to come up with better systems and work out better partnership for the implementation of the project. So maybe other questions my colleagues can come in on those ones. Perhaps you want to start and share with your permission. Thank you, Chair. I will respond to the question from the Chair about the bill. The bill will come into the parliamentary process the third quarter of this year. Relation to the vacancy rate, yes. We've implemented an action plan. In fact, the majority of our posts were advertised in January and February. The closing date is mid-March to end of March. April is the month that we were conducting the interviews with the intention of starting employment the first week in May. And then, DG, if I may, I can just respond on the promoting of the enterprises, the tech program that the Honourable Combrook referred to. Is that we as a department through tech do not give loans or subsidies. So the enterprises program is where the tourism enterprises program train upcoming enterprises. They give them training, they get them into the marketing domain, like taking them to Indaba, and then they've got a follow-up program to see how the business is growing on a monthly basis. That is the intention of that 1,300, if I'm right. The amount that was referred to. Okay. So we do not have loans and we do not give subsidies. In that link, it is the DTI's responsibility to deal with that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I will respond to the question of the value for money and the cost-benefit analysis for the EPWP project. This year, and it will continue also in April, we are doing an audit on all the completed EPWP projects just to check the sustainability issues, but also the value for money for these projects. But we have also planned that in the year 2012-2013, we will do the impact study and also the value for money and the cost-benefit analysis. So we do have plans to make sure that we assess these projects in relation to value for money.
There were other questions relating to, I'm sorry, whether we provide, how do people apply for study loans that we have that came from the maybe Stacey would answer that. I don't know if the other.
If I had the question, the first part was, how do people apply as educators if they want to be educators? And then the second part was around the bursary.
Thanks, Chair. If I can respond to the question asked by Honorable Zigalala. Within the department, we do actually issue out adverts in terms of bursaries. For an example, during 2010, we actually awarded bursaries to about 25 applicants, and the total value of those bursaries came out to the value of 134,850. So we do issue out adverts. And people, they do respond, and we have a bursary committee that would sit within the department and then award a bursary. the question of educators that want to study, do they want to study for tourism? The bursaries that we are actually issuing out are specifically the 25, are specifically for tourism and hospitality that we actually allocated. I know that in certain provinces, they do also offer some bursaries as well.
Just on the question with regard to the administration program and the drawings, just explain to you that the drawings in the beginning of a financial year, we are requested by National Treasury to give them a breakdown of our expenditure plans for that financial year. And according to that plan, National Treasury can allocate an amount per month to the department. And that is the drawing amount that we speak about. And then obviously our expenditure is then related to the drawings. On the expenditure for administration, some of the programs or sub-programs are underspending, but that is up to the end of December. The spending has, however, picked up in the 2 months, the 3 months that we're now in, and it will be 95% as this morning. The reason for that is there was a lot of payments that was not, I don't want to say delayed, but it's like your CETA payments. We only receive the claims from CETA at a very late stage, and then we only pay it in the last 3 months.
Chair, just to be on record to question the question raised by Honourable Korai, even though it's not here, with respect to the training of 250,000 people, he raised the question whether we were trying to make this thing look nice or what. No, the answer is no. We really chewed much more than what we can swallow, because as I indicated, strategy is a hypothesis. You got to prove it later on when you implement it. And if you realize there are flaws that were built up, I think the intention was quite good to try to train so many people. We ended up training about 14,000 people. That's what we totally trained. And when we look at the project, we look at the resources interrogating during the midterm review in September, interrogating whether moving forward are we going to be able to train those people. We realize actually we don't have the institutional capacity to do the training for 250,000 people. So what we needed to do was to backtrack on what we needed to do and focus on the high-yielding value training that we are engaged in, the SHARES program that we indicated, that includes all the provinces that send people that we are doing the training on that, and the training that we are doing in this in the Ritz-Carlton project. So focus on that. We've had an interaction with the tourism sector at the beginning of the year, and we raised this question of them being able to train people for service excellence, because they are on the front line and those are businesses. And for them to be able to keep on attracting customers, they really have to provide better service. So we had a discussion with them and we raised this issue in the context of the global competitiveness study that really shows that when it comes to service, we're still lagging behind. So there's an area that we can improve. I think our tendency is that each time there's a problem, we want to go and fix it ourselves, even though we can raise this thing and share it with the sector so that they can be able to deal with it. And it comes from the simple concept that if the only tool we have in our toolbox is the hammer, every problem that arises will be a nail, and we think we'll resolve that. It's not going to work. We may diagnose the problem, but we've got to share the problem with other people in the sector who are competent, who have the capability to fix the issue. So that's where the question of the 250,000 people training comes from. And I don't think it's sustainable, it's achievable. UNISA itself, every year, they don't graduate 250,000 people. With the type of institutions they have, the classrooms they have, the teachers they have, we hardly have a single teacher to think that we can train 250,000 people. So I think when we were doing that, we aimed too high, but we never looked at our internal. And that's why part of the midterm review, it's already take stock of what we are doing. As we develop the strategy during the midterm review, we take stock of what we are doing.
make an assessment if we're going to be able to implement it. And earlier on, we can then change course in terms of the implementation. But we can't get married to something that we realize is not achievable and pump resources in it. That was essentially the issue with that. It's not to make it look good, no. Thanks.
Okay. Now, sometimes you have projected plans going together with their expenditure. The downsize, then the expenditure is downsized. What happened to the money? How did you spend the money for training 40,000 as against training 250,000?
Chair, when we evaluated this program, which was conducted by Disney, the idea was to train, as I indicated, 250,000 people. And Disney, by June or by May, they trained about 14,000 people. And we looked at the amount of resources that were really put in training those people. And quite honestly, the governmental sector was the only sector that came on board in terms of putting the resources. The private sector never put resources. And the hope, I think, initially was to ensure that the cost sharing with everybody. And then because they could not bring that, we realized we can't go beyond training this. So there were no resources to do that training. The amount of money required was going to be very high, and we're not going to get that money anyway to do that kind of the training. The private sector needed to take some responsibility to do training. Some of them are actually running very good training institutions in the hotel industry. That's why part of what we did, given the report that we presented last week, is to look into the hotel schools that we are having in the country and how do we work with them to have better training, existing institutions. Now, we are in the process, and we've raised this thing at MINMEC. There's a commitment from provinces to try to utilize some of those infrastructures to do training. So as we move forward during the next financial year, hopefully, it will yield better results in terms of training. But Chair, if people bring more projects to us, this committee included, you must give us resources. If you don't give us resources, we're not going to do that. How are we going to do it? So that's where the issue is. We've got to prioritize what we need to do and look at what is that we can do and not really take everything without resources, be they financial or human resources. Thanks.
Let us first allow FA Tourism before I ask you for further clarification. Do you want further clarification?
Yes, there was by the DG through your chairperson when he said maybe I was mistaken. I said wellness for awareness. No. It's a pity because this is second by annual performance report.
Yes, quite
a point. Unfortunately, the wellness is there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It says, it's a pity, slides are not numbered. Either pages are not numbered. So I cannot display correctly. But it says that the strategic theme, human capital management and development. It says implementation of employee wellness plan. Wellness is there. Anyway, it's not awareness.
Honorable Zigana, I'm sorry, I really made a mistake. Somebody actually, one of my colleagues sent me a short note indicating the employee's wellness center. Now, the employee's wellness is a requirement, it's a systemic requirement in the department, for instance. Every government department, you need to deal with awareness and counseling people, for instance, around HIV/AIDS things to give them support on those issues. It actually relates to even the development of employees. Do we really develop our own employees to do things they need to do? It's an internal thing that is related to capacitate our staff, but it deals with a host of related problems. Some of the problems are very personal, and that's why we need to have social workers within the Employees Wellness Center to provide support to people to ensure that they perform, look at the challenges they may have. And this is where people would release or speak about things that are very personal, very confidential, but they have an impact in terms of their performance. So that system is required to be in place in every government department to provide the support to kind of people. It helps in terms of reducing. That's why you find institutions like the police, the Employees Wellness Center is very So it's the same approach in the department that we have, and that's something to require the government to provide support to all our staff, dealing with a variety of issues. So that is located within the human resource unit, chief directorate in the department. I'm sorry I missed the question earlier on. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks,
Chairperson. I'm going to be very brief. Two things, really. I think the DG answered most of what I was going to say on the issue of universal accessibility. But I do know from our side, from a grading perspective, as part of our criteria, it is to work into it. Because it is good code of conduct, it is the right thing to do. So that when we do launch end of March the new criteria, UA will form part of that document. But also in our conversations with the sector, it is to constantly remind that it makes business sense to actually have to comply, because there are so many opportunities that get presented by having a facility that is UA sensitive. I'd like to give Roisin an opportunity. She's got to leave, Chairperson, because she's got a flight to catch in about, she's got to leave in about 5 minutes, and she wanted to comment on the foreign visitor, foreign tourist arrivals issue once again. Thank you. I'm going to be very happy when we can be on the same page, because this is a challenging issue. Thanks.
Thank you, CEO and Chairperson. Honourable MP, it is a difficult one, but just to confirm that you are right when you say that tourists is people who spend the night. And when we looked at visitors, it does include some same-day visitors. So the visitors total is 11.3, and the tourist total is 8.073. That's the figure that you were asking me to give you the definition of. And just, so is that okay? Okay. And then just on your other question, which was on slide 22, it is correct that perceptions around the value for money and safety and security have declined slightly over the last 4 to 5 years. It is a big concern for us, and it is something we have to continuously work on. You know, it's different from country to country. So when you go to about 2 slides down, you'll see that in some countries it's better than in others. But it's a perception, and we do see that after people leave here, the facts are different. So when they leave the country, they don't give us such a bad rating on those two issues, but it's only before they come here. I think the value for money is related also to the strength of the rand, unfortunately.
Just a few things, Chair. I mean, the thing refers
alluded to things that have happened in November. I think you're talking about the Diwani incident. I mean, is that what SA Tourism are saying is causing or major cause of this problem?
I didn't want to make it a dialogue. I didn't want to specifically say that it was a specific incident, but that did happen in November. And I think that while the World Cup showed a country that was united and excited with huge nation building that happened during the World Cup, there were also the public sector strikes that then took place around September, October, which all just have an effect, but they're not the reasons. But, you know, and we can never say exactly what it is.
Okay, and then the refunding during the World Cup was responded to, what? No.
Yes, sir. I
responded to it around the safety and security and the value for money.
Okay. And the genuineness of the grading system that was asked by Mongani, particularly in rural areas. I think that one is the new approach of on trading, trying to improve the system. But yes, CEO.
Yeah, just very quickly, Chairperson, because the rate is not directly based on stars. You know, it is a guide, and so in a sense, we're also dealing with free market object factors where people will add that extra 500 or 300 rand that you may talk about. And we actually, in all honesty, don't have a lot of control over what people do at that level of their own products. But there are mechanisms for people also complaining and raising those issues where people do feel that they are being overcharged. Because as where we sit, the most we can do is to constantly engage and ensure that we have a healthy relationship with the product in order for them to realize that the decisions they make impact on tourist movements and visitors and appeal to people's sense of right and wrong.
I was asking this question because when they presented, they said that they will appeal to the department to use the graded accommodation. That's why I asked, how far did you go? Because we are making this to even to create jobs for the people who are not in town, who don't get that information, and say the how part of it. That's why I asked this question. Thank you.
I think that one should be should be our advocacy and promotion and awareness by all, including us and the department and everyone. The advocacy to promote them, because otherwise it's beyond the control sometimes of the department of SA Tourism, which is a promoting agent for businesses. And then, we're having a limited amount of time. Should there be a need for us to ask questions, then we shall ask the questions in writing and then address them to the committee. And then we have written responses now to committee members.
But responded to
that would be fine. Yes, and have this thing have a written response, and then other areas we have we can ask our questions from Parliament as well, and the issue of universal access is very good. But it can also create financial barriers to people that are emerging. I think we've got to see as to how we mitigate that as well. Because it's easy for Southern Sons, but for the member who's emerging, it may be a problem. So let us look at all the sides. And as we implement, because sometimes you may find yourself putting yourself in situations that prevent your programs elsewhere within the same industry. So, but I think from the question side, that's it. Then the last item for the committee, so we can release the department. And thank you very much. We don't have the time for closing remarks, but really tight. Then there is the issue of a parliamentary radio program schedule, 90 minutes long, where we are having a number of languages and a number of stations where we are supposed to will be interviewed and be interviewed by people out there. It is not restricted to the interviewer, but people will phone in program. So now we are having this parliamentary radio program scheduled for 90 minutes. Excuse me, the Marai. Okay. And let us look then at our proposed schedule. I mean, we are not forcing people. This is not written in stone. But there is this Mutsweding FM program. It is in Setswana. It will be on the 28th of March at 22 hours. We propose that it be Ms. Jane Mangani. And then there is this True FM, which is an English and it's a closer radio. I think it's around Cape Town. We propose that it should be XC McCarthy. And then Ukhozi Radio, it should be Kumede. Metro FM, we propose it should be Njobe. Radio 2000 FM, we propose that it should be Plumbo. Tobela FM, we proposed, which is in Sepedi, should be Mangani. Pala Pala FM, which is in Chivenda. It's vacant yet, we do not know who can speak Chivenda. Perhaps if there is somebody who understands and can respond, they can go to indicate so that we can send them there. Because remember, it is also going to be a phone-in program, so you have to respond. Then today we have Kwekwezi FM is in the bed. As well, we are not having somebody there yet. Then we have Lesedi FM, which is Sesotho. Then we have LP Parai. Then we have Likwala Kwala FM in Siswati. I think those who can speak Siswati also can understand Siswati, but so far we do not have anybody. Umkhabwane, which is Siswati, we have Bram Mugwanya. Then there is this XKFM, which is Africans and it's a language. I don't know how to pronounce this word. I'm sorry if I pronounced it wrongly. You read it or whatever. I don't know how it is pronounced. We got hold of Freddie Adams from the NCOP. And then Lotus FM, which is in English, we have got CN Zigalala. But these are proposals based on the possibility of the situation. So I do not know. Are you do you feel confident that you can handle this? It will just be around general questions in tourism. Given the experiences we have, given the summit, they may ask you anything on tourism. But I mean, it's not something that is too tough for anybody. And then it is going to be in your own language, and then to talk tourism there. There are different times. I think the committee will arrange transport for people if they are going to be interviewed here, or if it's interviewed, or they come to your cell phone. So it means your cell phone has got to be, the battery has to be okay, it should be full, and then it should be open at the time they phone you. Because it happens to me sometimes, they just phone me when I'm driving. So make sure that you are not driving at that time they have this thing. The phone in. But it is the ones which are during daytime are for McCarthy, which is 14:30. Let me just read the times. I'm sorry for holding you up, and but I think it's necessary. It's Mutreding FM in Setswana is 22 hours, which is 10 o'clock on the 28th of March, which is a Monday. They should not find you asleep. Then it is True FM English is a Xhosa. It is 2:30 on Monday the 28th. And then it will be Ukhozi FM Monday the 28th at 8:30 DM Kumede. Metro FM English 28th March. It will be 8 o'clock on Monday 28th. So it will be you, and then immediately after you, then it will be myself. 8 o'clock. Metro FM. Then Radio 200 FM will be at 20:30 on Tuesday the 29th. It will be GR Tumbok. Then Tobela FM in Sepedi, it will be the 29th at 21:15, quarter past 9. We have Manganyi. We shall circulate this, but we just want to confirm. Then Pala Pala FM Chivenda. It will be at 1:35. Jane, can do you understand Chivenda? Don't understand it. Because they will ask you questions, I mean. You've got to give answers. But also it will be creating excitement around tourism and awareness, advocacy for people to participate in this thing. She has the one who is better speaking has resigned. That is too much. So now I don't know. NCOP, do you know anybody in the NCOP of an equivalent committee that is speaking to them?
Mr.
Linda.
You
want to
be the
purpose of it? I don't know, but what just told me is, as soon as perhaps you think that there is a person who can speak, understand and speak Chivenda, because if you at least you understand.
Oh, you want Chivenda? Chivenda,
a speaking
person.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry.
Yeah. Then Chitonga will be Mungane, Lune, a true friend.
Mungane,
Lune. It's my J.M. Malulek. How are we going to communicate that as soon as possible? Because I want people to know as soon as possible. It's in Ndebele, Ikwezi FM, Thursday, the 31st of March, quarter past 7.
I said the person must communicate with Jason, because he said he will give us something. Those who didn't attend, he will give them
JJ. Okay, let us. You phone me and then give me the full particulars of JJ. Then Lisedi FM Sisutu is Kwalaya. Lisedi Sisutu is light, eh? Is the ray of light.
It's a light,
okay. It's Kwalaya at 20:45, quarter to 9 on Thursday the 31st. And then the Kuala Kuala FM Siswati. It's 31st of March. Can we deploy Mamus Galala now? Although you cannot speak, you can just answer in Zulu, then ask questions in Siswati. I think you'll understand each other. Right? Okay. The Kuala Kuala Siswati. 11:30 on Thursday, 31st of March, 11:30. It will be daytime. I don't know, normally it's caucus time that time, next Thursday, during daytime. But there should be somebody reminding people and phoning them on that day. Hello, Matt, Trevor Lunch.
Thanks, Jay. I would just like to ask, this is something to do with the committee, because you are asking committee members to assist with the radio slot.
Yes.
Will the members that are asked to participate get information and just like a short fact sheet or things that they can have in front of them to make sure that everyone is on the same page. Otherwise, you might get very different answers in the different debates, and you might just as well end up with someone picking it up that on one radio station this was said, and on another something completely different.
Yeah, in fact, it will be a statement or a fact sheet around
that's what I'm asking you.
The summit, the issues of stuff. But now we'll try and simplify some of the things.
Thanks. I mean, I take it this is 19 minutes and not 19.
19.
So, I mean, is every committee doing this? Is it just tourism?
It is tourism because we have had this summit, and then it is our intention to advocate tourism in the country.
Okay, so I mean, whose idea is this radio program? Did we initiate this?
It was initiated by parliamentary communications when we were organizing the summit, the communications.
I don't know that the public realize they have to confine their questions to issues around the tourism summit. But as you remember, there were workshops that went on simultaneously. So if you're at the one, you couldn't be at the other. I mean, how are we supposed to answer a question on a workshop that we were not at, if we were at another one? I'm just starting to worry about what's going to happen here now. I can answer the questions on anything I attended, but, I mean, you know, if you're attending one thing, you couldn't attend another because there was duplicate parallel programs running. Are we actually expected now to get the notes of everything and prepare? Because it's a bit strange to ask you questions on something that you couldn't attend because you had to attend something else.
I don't think that the questions really were so different in different commissions. But we are going to circulate that even to the radio stations that this is the statement of the conference. So we will be reading from the same page, with more or less, with the radio station. But beware, journalists can ask you anything at the end of the day. You go to handle it as a leader. The journalists are journalists.
The tourism enterprise program of PCOM, I'm still going to answer the question about the World Cup, okay?
World Cup. Right. And then Umhlaba wenene, it's Pam Mugwanya. Let us hear from him. Then this XKFM, let Freddie Adams, because they told me that he also could understand or speak to this Kukwe. This language is a language which is spoken by people in Western Cape, Northern Cape. This thing. Then Lotus FM, Zigalala, in this thing. Is that, will that be okay? Lotus FM is in English.
What time?
Oh, 11:05, Thursday the 31st, and then nothing make less. Then 11:05, the other one was 11:30. What, Likwala Kwala was 11:30. Five past 11. Okay, because of time, let us try and finalize that one. But I think that's it. And thank you very much for your patience and for bearing with me. It's all for the good of your country and our country. Thank you very much. At the next meeting. These are tables. So now they'll be adopted next meeting. Thank you.